251, the Colorado State preview, but there's a whole lot more in this episode. Conversation about Spencer Lee, Josie Jewell, Charlie Jones, Lou Malnati's. We answer questions about what game day looks like before we get to the stadium. What does preparation look like depending on the kick times? And we recap the night of the Penn State 2016 game. We did not have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washington Walk-Ons fans, episode 251 of the podcast. If you guys could have heard the opening minute that we just had over this music, none of you would ever turn this podcast on again. For that audio, you can go to patreon.com/Washington Walk-Ons. It will be there, and it was fantastic. Hey, it's a new week. I think we're playing some team from Colorado. I don't really know, but Kluver, you're going to lead us off into this thing, and we're going to have some great content anyway. So what do we got?
The way you mentioned that actually made me think Minnesota smoked Colorado last week. It was one of the games that I think Kevin was most impressed with.
30-0. Yep.
Yeah.
Had the under in that game, under hit.
That's good. And Ward's Winners is alive and well. I've got my three picks. I'm excited about it.
Kluver, you're going to have to bring my picks back up because I'm going to take those top two picks that we talked about from the...
Yeah. Okay. I like my picks. We'll get to the picks. There's other things I want to touch on. That opening conversation before we rolled in there was something else. And it was stemmed by a very just a simple question from Kevin, and that's kind of how we just do things. So this isn't a bit here, right? Like that's our real conversation. Shout out to Thomas T and Doug Wagner, my guy, my co-host Doug Wagner on the WMT post-game Hawkeye huddle that I'm doing the radio show with. New Patreon subscribers, Doug, brother, welcome to the walk-on army. Speaking of, if you're in the Walk-On Army, you heard about the new Walk-On Army exclusive t-shirts that are coming soon. And boy, that's like a nice slice of Casey's pizza, those t-shirts, right? Casey's, please sponsor us.
No free shout outs.
Hey, no free ads, man. No free ads.
Well, clearly what we're doing isn't enough. They already, you know, us and Riley Moss trying to get the Casey sponsorship. That is how we bring it into this show. Real quickly, before we get into this, we are playing a team from Colorado. Going to get back to them. Next week, we're playing a team from Maryland. I was reached out to by Kevin Meredith from the DC Iowa Club, who we once did it. We once were like guests.
Yeah, that was fun.
For a Zoom call for them way back when the pandemic started. Kevin wanted me to say on the podcast, and I'm all about this. I'm not about, you know, shouting out or saying stuff that other people want me to say, but when it makes the Iowa experience better, I'm all about it. They are super excited for the Iowa Maryland game out there. Obviously they don't, you know, the Hawks don't make it out there often. They have a full weekend of events planned starting Thursday night. So if you're going to be out there for a little weekend trip, please go to KinnickEast.com, elite URL, KinnickEast.com. For all of the details on the festivities of the Iowa Maryland game. The one thing they wanted to mention was they want to make that game a gold out because Maryland is making it a blackout game. So if the Iowa fans wear gold and Maryland wears all black, then it's going to be black and gold in the stadium.
So yeah. And the Iowa fans will stick out. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yes. So
do that. If you're going to Maryland, do that. I love that out of the fans, just doing stuff like that.
Yes.
I would love to see them execute it.
KinnickEast.com for more on that. I'm going to share my screen quick. We're going to get into some.
If I remember, just I'll cut you off here real quick.
Yeah, cut me.
Back when we played there in 2014, we had a pretty strong fan showing. When we were there, there was a lot like traveled really well.
Yeah.
Being in Maryland.
Wasn't sure if you saw this, Drake. I'm sure this was something you were a large fan of.
Dude, I put this on my Instagram story today when I saw this, and I'm about two-thirds of the way through the episode because I had to drive quite a ways today, and it's pretty fantastic.
Notice the tagline there, the location, Nashville, Tennessee. Any chance that Drake Kulik finds his way onto the bus?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, maybe not, but maybe I'll at least hang out with Will sometime, put him in a heel hook, let him know he ain't shit. I don't know.
For those on the listening end.
That's what we do to people from Nebraska, dude. We bully them. So yeah. I'm not going to let the trend stop.
For those listening to the podcast and not on the YouTube version, this is a picture on Twitter of Bussin' with the Boys, Spencer Lee, on episode 117 of that podcast. And anytime you get to hear Spencer Lee talk, it's just a delight, right? Every time he stands next to another athlete that isn't a wrestler of his class, it's incredible. Like, Will Compton is a big dude, but he's not a giant by any means. And he dwarfs Spencer Lee. Still think I can get out. Give me 30 seconds. Also, this, Charlie Jones put on his story today. Kevin, I thought you'd like this one.
Oh, let's go. Illuminati's.
Wow.
So he's clearly looking for the NIL deal from the old Lou Malnati's. And
it looks like they sent him the thin crust pizzas, though. My favorite from Illuminati's, that thick Chicago style pizza.
Gotta have the thick.
Mm-hmm. If that's a sponsorship, that's elite.
I don't know if it is.
It doesn't look like it. I think someone just sent him a little care
package. Right, because I've ordered, I actually got the same box for my wife for her birthday present one time, two thick Chicago style pizzas, and it looked the exact same, but they should sponsor Chicago area athletes and ex-athletes.
I didn't know. Is our man Charlie Jones from the Chicago area?
Says feeling like home. He put feeling like home. So he must be from the Chicago area. And then before he went out to Buffalo, this has got to be the reason why he's been so dangerous. He's fueled by fucking Lou Malnati's. And that's one for the kids.
I know another Chicagoland athlete who has a pretty successful podcast, and everybody loves on his podcast, loves Lou Malnati. So,
yeah, I know.
Why'd you bring this up, dude?
You got to talk about it. You got to talk about it.
He's from Deerfield, Illinois, which is like north of Evanston. So sounds about right.
Okay. Well, Charlie, if we can help in any way or also latch on to your NIL deal from Lou Malnati's, that would be fantastic. And you probably don't listen to this podcast, so that's probably a good thing. You should be preparing for the Rams. This one's on a less light note. This is unfortunate. Our guy, Josie Jewell. In fact, I was going to have him on. He actually reached out to me and said, when do you guys record the podcast? And I said, we record Sundays and Wednesdays, but if you're trying to get on, Drake and I have a lot of time. We can record whenever. He said, I'm looking for something to do because I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands. And I said, bro, we could make a segment for you. You can come on every week. It'd be like Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays around here.
Yeah,
it'd be Josie Jewell Wednesdays or whatever. But
Jewel of the week, dude.
Oh, man. Hit us with the family jewels. unfortunately, the reason for this is because some dumbass on Denver decides that Josie's going to play teams.
Who starts their middle linebacker on punt?
God.
That's a dickhead move.
I think it happens when you only have 49 guys that can dress.
They got to up the roster size a little bit, man.
I honestly have no idea like how you play a football game with only 49 guys in pads on the sideline.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
I think back when we were playing, like we had 68 guys getting in the game.
Yeah.
Almost the whole travel squad got
68. You could have 70 on the travel roster. At home, you can have more, but 70 is really what you're working with. And I would say you're close, Kev. I would say if we had 70 on a road trip with us, I bet that 63 of them got in guaranteed.
Right.
I don't know how they do it with 49. And then even then with 53, it's usually like six are like inactive.
So you have 53 man roster, but only 49 dress for each game.
Real.
So you have four dudes who are active roster, but for some reason
stupid
aren't allowed to play that day. It might have changed in this last CBO though. So I know how that's how it was before. I'm not sure about the rules this year though, if they've changed that or not.
Unbelievable. Denver Broncos inside linebacker Josie Jewell will miss the rest of the 2021 season after tearing a pec muscle. Jewell suffered the injury during Sunday's 23-13 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fucking Broncos are 2-0, man. They're having
it sucks.
Before leaving the game, Jewell totaled three tackles. He was playing great. I looked it up after. I mean, man.
Yeah, he was playing good, and it's his contract year, man. It fucking sucks.
God.
One for the kids.
Yeah, thanks, Josie. That's coming out of your paycheck because you're still getting paid. That's tough, man. And I did not.
I'm heartbroken for the kid because, like, he doesn't really know what getting hurt is like. You know, luckily he had a really good career at Iowa. Like, you know,
he had some rough shoulder.
He had a bad shoulder. He had a bad hand, but the amount of games he had to miss, he had a good, like, reasonably good luck of stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, he had some hand injuries early on in his career when we were.
But he made it back for the season.
Yeah.
Right.
And even the first year, I think he wasn't. We all redshirted, so it didn't even matter.
And now he has to miss all those games. I feel bad for him, dude, because it's just like he's never had to do it before.
So shitty. And it couldn't. I mean, he's the best guy. Like, he's the best guy. So shitty. Ran a Twitter poll today on the Wash Up Walk-Ons account. And I saw this from last week, and this has nothing to do with football. If there's a nice hot plate of brownies that comes out of the oven, do you go for an edge brownie or do you go for a middle brownie? I've always been a middle guy.
I eat the edges until there's no more edges.
Really? Wow.
Is it just one full thing, like nothing's been cut yet?
Well, I mean, you're going to,
I'm not, cause I'm not going to dig my hand in the middle. Like, savage,
but I prefer
the middle ones. Cause I like them nice and gooey. Honestly, the less cooked, the better. I'll eat the batter.
Kevin and I are on the same, page here.
I like that with our cookies too.
Yeah. Right? You just make everything. Nice. If there's a recommended cook time, bake time for anything,
cut it in half.
You just take the lower end of it and minus 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah, like 10%. Yeah, exactly.
That's how I do it. I'm a middle guy. The poll on Twitter ended up being about 55-45 in favor of the middle. But
now,
I mean,
what ice cream are we going with this brownie?
Vanilla bean. And then
from
anywhere that sells vanilla
beans, bro.
Breyers vanilla bean is special, huh?
Come on.
I would agree with Drake. Breyers is my favorite.
Haagen-Dazs.
I'm getting out of a grocery store.
Yeah. And then a little caramel sauce on top.
Maybe a cherry if you're feeling fancy.
Wow, cherry, Kev. That's so Homer Glenn. Homer Glenn, Drake. I've never heard anything more Homer.
What, are cherries bougie now? Is that?
Yes.
What is
it? I'm surprised he doesn't squirt some whipped cream on there too, like a weirdo. Oh,
I didn't know where that was going for a second. Oh, it's now, the
wash. If you break out the whipped cream, you gotta do the test squeeze in your mouth first before you put it on your actual food.
Yeah, we know you're squeezing stuff in your mouth all the time, Kev. We get it. That's the wash up walk-ons for you. That's 12 minutes right there, just of good old fashioned, just fun, right? I took some questions because let's be honest. Well, let's go back. The Colorado State Rams. We are playing a team from Colorado, Drake. You're right.
That means they all smoke pot.
They're all, yeah, for sure. I don't know. Why I mentioned the Colorado, what are they? Just the Buffaloes? Just Colorado Buffs?
Rams.
No. CU. Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah. Buffaloes. Colorado Buffaloes. Buffalo. I don't know if they're the worst team in Colorado or not. I think they're both not great, right? Colorado State probably not as good. I'm gonna pull them up. That's the one thing I didn't have up, huh? is what they've done. I know this. They beat Toledo last week, 22-9. They kicked 5 field goals. So, hey, if this comes down to a battle between Shudak and the other guy, maybe it's a shootout. I doubt it because
– interesting about that is the week before, Toledo played Notre Dame real tough. Had them on the ropes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fun to sometimes play the transitive property, but it's really hard, you know. It doesn't really
– by the end of the season, the transitive property just gets shit on.
Oh, yeah, because it's like as long as like – At least every team has one loss. You can do like a kind of a circle.
They always do it in the NFL too.
Yeah.
Like at some point in the NFL, usually by week like 11 or 12.
If you have at least one team.
Every team has to have at least one loss.
Every team has at least one win. You can get to like the point where who's the worst team in the NFL right now? The Jets beat the Chiefs or something.
Yeah, the Jets or the – God, there's some pretty bad teams in the NFL. There's some good teams in the NFL too, that we're not going to talk NFL. I took some questions because I know we're not going to fill this whole podcast with,
we don't know one single player for the Colorado State, not St. Louis Rams,
which by the way, were my team, going into, you know, as I grew up, hold on a second, Colorado State 1-2 started the year with a loss to South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits.
Okay, solid football team.
Respect to the Jackrabbits and to the Bison of North Dakota State. Both quality football programs at the FCS level. They lost 42-23. Three-score game. Then they took on Vanderbilt, which is really the nutsack of the SEC.
I would say Vanderbilt and South Dakota State are like on the same level.
Chill out, boys. That's Nashville. Relax on the Nashville homies.
Right. But it's the nutsack of the SEC.
Yeah. Awesome town. I'm sure they make nice trains there at Engineer SEC.
Very smart school, I think.
Yeah. It is.
Sort of like Purdue, but Purdue's come a little bit on the athletic side.
The Commodores have not been a good football team for a while.
They might even be the Gooch of the SEC. I'm not even sure if they're.
Is that worse?
What's worse? I don't know.
I don't know.
They're down there, right? They lost Colorado State made it a game, but they lost 24-21 to Vanderbilt. And then last week they got a dub 22-6 at Toledo. So they're coming into Kinnick Stadium, 2:30 kickoff on Saturday at 1-2. And they probably don't feel great about themselves. I'm guessing they have three guys on their team that are, you know, probably talented, you know, might be able to play at a better school, but they're going to run out of gas against the Hawks, mainly the Hawkeye defense. Big opportunity for the Hawkeye offense to take another step. One of the questions was, do you think in that taking another step, does the playbook open up any more here, or do we just run the same plays and take more chances within those same plays?
I don't think we open up. Like, are we going to,
I don't know, any more some
crazy shit out of the bag?
Like, we're not going to need reverses this game, you know?
No, I mean, I don't see Brian open up the playbook too much, mostly because if you don't need to, no reason to show some
right
plays you got in your bag. Something that coordinators do in these games is show them some crazy looks.
Yeah.
Because that forces your next opponent to both prepare for it and practice for it. And that's
a good call. And I'd like to
see Monty throw it a little bit.
We put Monty and T Good in Wildcat, but T Good's still the running back. And Monty plays quarterback.
Now we're talking.
And then he drops back and he throws it to Charlie Jones or Tracy. Oh, man. Can you imagine? We used to do that too, Kev. It's funny you say that.
Dude, listen to me.
Yeah, what's up?
We need to have the Monty Potabomb Tebow jump pass. Snap it to him in the shotgun on the 2-yard line. Monty looks like he's running forward, about to plunge for a touchdown, jumps up, little pop pass. Tell me the place wouldn't erupt.
It would literally be the pot pass, which is pretty great. You're just a hair close to the mic there. You're like in the brains of our listeners.
In your skulls.
Okay. Okay, Bo Bauer. I don't think that would be cool, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I do think you're going to see. So the criticism of Petras in the passing game so far has been like our downfield throws, right? We've had one. Check that. Let's call it three or four good downfield throws of 15, 20 plus yards, right? Charlie Jones touchdown against Iowa State last week, late in the game against Nico Reganey to set up the last touchdown by Goodson. And then in that Iowa State game, right before half, the two drives before half, we threw a good pass to Laporta where Petras took the shot, but he stayed in there, threw another one on the opposite side of the field to Lachey, vertical passing, right? Hasn't been a lot other than that. This may be a team where we open that up a little bit. I don't know if Spencer is uncomfortable throwing it downfield. Again, I don't know if it's the receivers not getting separation. Both of those, you would think, would maybe be a little bit better in a game like this, right? Also, with what our run game should be able to do, the momentum that we've picked up here, especially with last week, we should play action should be looking clean. Play action in the Iowa offense is exciting, and it should be this weekend. Before we come back to some more questions, this is our pot. This, what I'm about to do right now is our podcast taking a step. This would be what KF would call we're humming. Okay. People have complained a little bit about the breaks, the ad breaks being right in the middle of conversation. So, hey, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to answer some more questions. And we're back.
And we're back, bitches.
And that's how you come back.
You know, that's a fair critique. I mean,
yeah. And to be honest, someone asked on Twitter and I was like, you know what? We're just being lazy. That's just me being lazy. Tech guys being lazy on that one. So we've had a 2:30. Wait, we've had two. Has it been an afternoon game time? It's been 2:30, 3:30, 2:30, right?
Yet to have an 11 a.m. kick.
And another 2:30 coming this weekend.
It's getting pretty annoying, boys.
You don't like that?
No, not at all.
Why? As a fan or as a player?
As a fan and as a player, I think both 2:30 is my least favorite start time.
Yeah, by far. Because as a fan, I just want to get up, get my morning started, have a cup of coffee, and bang, the Hawks are on. That's why I moved to the West Coast. And now they're screwing us.
They're on at 9 a.m. in Arizona, huh?
Yeah, they would be, and I would be enjoying my morning with a little Hawkeye football, but instead they decided to push it back 3.5 hours, and I got stuff to do in the afternoon.
I think as a player, it's unquestionable, you two agree, that 11 o'clock is the optimal time to play.
No, definitely night games.
No, I'm just talking about you get up, you go to the stadium, and you go.
I would say yes.
Night games are more fun because they're generally more energy, buzz. Yeah.
And we get to go to a movie before.
True. Yeah, but I'm just talking about.
As far as I get what you're saying, Kevin, physically and how it fits in the schedule, especially since in 2015, we switched to the morning practice schedule. So our bodies got used to, okay, we're up 7:30, 8 o'clock. We're rolling. Like we're on the field.
And especially that next Sunday, boy, oh boy, after a night game, that is not the most fun.
No, it's a late night.
You have a night game at Penn State, you get beat 42-12, and then you gotta wait an hour and a half at the airport, and then
you're stuck on the tarmac for an hour and 15 minutes.
You remember what happened when we got back, Kev? It snowed that night.
Yeah, it was just a horrible fucking day.
We got back. Okay, a little story time. This was good. So we go to Penn State, and you guys saw what that environment looked like last week. It was not as crazy as Auburn, Penn State, but it was good for.
It was bumping. So I remember they had a big win. Did they beat Ohio State the week before? They had a big win the week before.
I don't know, but they were
in the race for the East to win.
They might have beat Michigan or something. I don't know.
They might have won the East that year.
Either way.
Anyway,
we were walking into it.
So they had to white out the week before. And then James Franklin's like,
run it back.
The white clothes. We're doing it again this weekend for Iowa.
Yeah, run it back.
And well, they're coming off a big win. We roll into Happy Valley, the whiteout. It's going crazy again. And then Saquon Barkley goes all Saquon Barkley all over us. And we get our ass kicked.
And he was tough, you know. It's tough going against Quadzilla.
It is, you know, and it's tough running kick return 8 times in a game. It's not fun. It's really not fun.
Drake, do you have any comments on 8 times during kick return? Can we? It's not good.
It like as if the night couldn't get any better or any worse. You know, we are Penn State,
which I'm not gonna lie is pretty cool.
And then, as they're chanting, "We are Penn State," we're looking down the gun barrel of another kick return.
And there's and not only are you looking at a kick return, but those guys are juiced. Games going their way. Those guys are headhunting. You're target practice at that point.
You know what I remember was happening. The meme of the day was the Harlem Shuffle, and the whole student section did it. They played it.
Sure did.
Or like everyone's like frozen, and then it's not like, oh, dude. What is it called? The Harlem Shake Shuffle?
Harlem Shake, I believe.
Do the Harlem Shake, and then the whole student section goes wild. Awesome place to go watch a football game.
Yeah.
Horrible place to get your ass kicked. We did. Airport was like 40 minutes away or something. We're stuck at the airport, late getting onto our plane. They were on the plane, sitting on the plane, not moving for an hour and 15 minutes. I don't know why. Everyone's just like, get me the fuck home. 2-hour flight home, land in Cedar Rapids, half hour drive back to the complex. It's snowing. We rode our mopeds to the complex, so we have to moped back to our house.
We can't even get out of the parking lot, dude.
Kluver's on my back. I'm pretty sure we crashed.
We did. That was the whole story. So we get our dicks pushed in. We get our dicks pushed in Happy Valley. Okay, great. National embarrassment. Awesome. Penn State's rolling. Hawks suck. Right? Hawks were on their knees all night. Great. Nice, thicky, Saquon. Now, we go back to the plane and go through all the stuff that Kevin just said, right? I'm sorry. This is not to be insensitive, but at this point in the night, we wanted to kill ourselves. Okay? There was harm. Self-harm was on the mind. Now, and by the way, no Baby Bell cheese wheels on the airplane. Bullshit. Right?
Yeah, we didn't get a snack on the way back, I don't think.
No food.
Yeah.
So you have some hungry, tired, large men at past midnight who
we landed in Cedar Rapids, I think it was after 1 a.m.
Yeah, 1 a.m. Half hour drive back. It's snowing. Great. Awesome. Mopeds are sitting there getting real cold, getting real frosty. Hope you brought the coat when you, and it was like a nice day the day before.
Yeah, it was decent. Yeah.
3-4 inches of snow. Kevin and I mount the moped, right? Like Jon Snow mounts his horse. Okay. But the moped,
50 feet.
But the moped ain't quite as sturdy. And we're going down the side of the complex and down goes Frazier. Okay. Insult to injury to insult to injury. I don't know.
And now I'm just like, you know what? Get on again, Kluv. I'm going to run this thing straight into the wall.
Yeah. I think at that point I said, Kevin, I'll fucking walk home. Okay. Anyway, I'll walk.
I think we got to bed. It was like after 2 a.m.
It was like 2:30. Yep.
It's like, I think they were nice. They pushed film the next day back to noon or something. Noon.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly how it went. And you know what you know what we walked into? Sandwiches from Firehouse. Hey, do better.
Now, when you get beat by Penn State by 25 points on national television, they don't even need to do better. We need to do better. We should have done better. If we'd have done better, they'd have done better.
I'll finish this story off by fast forwarding a week. If you want to talk about handling adversity, the Hawks beat undefeated number 3 Michigan the next week.
And this is incredible.
And we dumped bottles all over co-eds.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some soaking wet underage women. Not underage. The drinking age women in the scummit that night. They were 18, but that doesn't mean anything when there's alcohol involved. So
bro, Clover loves to try a dry stitch on anybody snitch, he can, like, no, bro. It's hey, unbelievable.
No, I don't remember anything like that. I think they're all 21.
No, absolutely not. And you know it. This comes full circle, and this is why that story, and this is why you listen to the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, because now you're asking, okay, cool story, bro. Nice college story about getting your ass kicked and then going to the bar the next week after a big win. Great. How does it mean? Why does it mean anything? This week, KF said offensively, they had the best practice they've had all year. Okay. Now that's a good thing, because historically, I know that when KF has deemed, oh, this was our best practice, there's been good results. You want to know another time? The time that sticks out in my mind that we had the best day / best week of practice, it was after we got our dicks kicked in against Michigan or at Penn State. Fantastic week of practice that week. Everyone basically decided, wow, we're going to get, like, the coaches might just clean house, scholarships taken away, and they're going to pull a 105 out of the university and send our ass packing if we don't do something right this week. So literally everybody was like, okay, screw it. Like, we're professional athletes this week. We don't care about school. I don't care if someone breaks down on the side of the road, needs help changing their tire. It's football, all football. And you know what happened? We kicked old Harbaugh's ass, man.
That was a feel good day right there, boys.
You know what I call that game? A no doubter. There was never a doubt.
There was some doubt in my mind. There was some doubt about the time that CJ
the Walmart man had a lot of doubts, right, Clue?
And that goes all the way back to episode 1 or 2 when Kevin and I told the Walmart guy story.
Tell the Walmart man story again.
Real quickly, because we have a lot of new listeners. God, you guys are getting stories on stories this podcast. Tell you what, Kevin and I, why were we?
We were buying some video
game. A new video game had just come out. Which, by the way,
Call of Duty, maybe?
I think it was Call of Duty. And by the way, it didn't even matter because Minecraft is the best video game there is. And we already had it for free. We go to Walmart. Kevin and I find ourselves at the Iowa City Walmart right there on Highway 1 south of Iowa City. Okay. You keep going and you find Drake at Riverside. All right. And he was at Riverside that week. Let me tell you.
I think that this is our off day. This might have been Thursday.
I was literally at Riverside.
Yeah. Kevin and I are at Walmart. Okay. People of Walmart.com. It was all that. We go to the video game section.
We're wearing our Iowa issue, like grout fit, gray sweats, gray hoodie, says Iowa football on it.
Other than the average stature of Kevin and I's build, we look everything that you could to be one of the football players. Okay. And we're standing in the video game aisle, and around the corner comes Spanky in his motored wheelchair.
In his little rascal. And it's because it was one of those video games you had to get from behind the glass. So the guy had to come open it up. It's like, hey, I want that one.
So Kevin and I asked this guy, hey, can we get a little unlock here? We're trying to buy this video game. And guy sees the Iowa stuff, doesn't make the connection, says, I'll never forget it, Kev. He says,
good.
Boy, Hawks are going to need a prayer this weekend, huh? And Kevin and I just smile and look at each other. And honestly, at that point, we were thinking, well, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. But the first thing that Kevin said to me, or I said to Kevin after the game, was, what do you think Walmart guy's thinking of? And we said some other stuff that we will not repeat on this podcast.
Yeah, we won't repeat what
because it's a joke that goes way, way too far, and we would definitely be looked at differently. So just know it happened. But yeah, man, a lot of stories. And we're 33 minutes into potentially the best podcast we've ever done. Okay. We haven't even Game prep. This whole started with the 2:30 kick time, right? So 11 a.m. great for the players.
Great for the fans too, because I like it. You get in the lot at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. You do 3.5 hours of tailgating, mm-hmm. go into the game, watch the game. You win and you feel good the rest of the day. You just watch, you can watch football feeling good, not nervous or anxious or anything.
Now let's have a real honest conversation here on the Washington Wildcats podcast.
Oh, it's all honest.
Do fans of the Iowa Hawkeyes, most of whom were born in the state of Iowa, really need 3.5 hours to drink? Because they put it away.
I don't think so. That's the thing.
Are you asking me how fast I can get drunk? I mean,
yes, that's essentially what Drake's saying. And Iowans,
I'm saying that if all the Iowans are tailgating from 7 to 10:30, they don't need a damn minute longer.
You walk through the parking lot and you ask anyone, if you put them on a clock, I bet most Iowans will tell you, give me 45 minutes. You know, give me 45.
I'll be shithoused.
Yeah, give me 45 minutes and a case of corn can Bush Lights and I'll be gone,
and a beer syringe if you got one.
So 11 a.m. is great, right? The whole question was, what does the game prep look like and how does it differ for different game times? And the short answer that I gave to several people for this was, the 4 hours before kickoff were always exactly the same, right? So at an 11 a.m. game time, it's perfect because you wake up at 6:58 and you mosey down to breakfast at 7. Also, if you ever find yourself, which would only be for very young listeners, if you find yourself on the Iowa football team, don't show up at 6:58.
You're late.
Tried that one time. Also told that story. Not going to tell a third story, though. So breakfast starts at 7. Now, that's breakfast on an 11 a.m. game, but on a 2:30 game, that's just brunch, right? You're getting that meal at 10:30. Night game, you're eating at 3 p.m. It's 4 hours before game time. And I don't know who determined that. I'm gonna guess it was probably Coach Doyle. He had a lot to do with that schedule beforehand, and it has stayed the same. I don't really remember. So yeah, because you show up 2 hours before game time. Bus rolls in 2 hours before game time. It's a half hour drive. So you have 90 minutes from the time you eat pregame meal to basically get ready. You go back up. I always showered in this gap. Kevin's playing fucking
Candy Crush.
That was the telephone.
Skip to my loo. You have pregame meal. That goes for about 10, 12, 15 minutes. You go upstairs. You pack your shit. I always showered because it made me feel good. You throw on your travel suit. You come down for, I think, 30 minutes before the buses left was offensive, defensive meetings. Quick meeting. When do you want to explain what that was all about? Because I just sat there.
Phil would just go over the key points of the game.
Okay. Then the defense would walk around the corner. They would then fill in the offensive room, which was the bigger room where we had the full team meetings. And we'd, what?
I think he had offense. Backwards. Yeah.
Offense came
into the defensive side?
Yeah, come on, defensive room and the team room are the same.
I thought you ran this show.
Anyway, one side came to the other side. We came together. They hit the lights and they rolled the hit film, which was lit.
KF would give us his
KF would say his piece.
In senior year, that's when Drakey would hit his Percocet.
Okay. All right. Senior year, that was also when Drake would take drugs. So that's what would happen. You load the bus, everybody's got their headphones on, and you're in essentially the same form that you saw the players get off the bus for the Hawk walk in, right? You sit on your own seat. If you mess up the seating chart, you're a dick, first of all. Know where you're sitting on the bus, because that's a big
deal. Where you sit the first week is where you're sitting the rest of the season. Don't even think about moving seats.
Again, that's to our young listeners, maybe the one listener that will play for the Hawks someday. Shouts to you.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, if we have a listener that ends up playing for the Hawks someday, we are supporting them financially, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
If one of the young Army members grows up to be a Hawk, we got to sponsor them.
Well, I'm telling you, with the big idea, this golf tournament thing, you know how I mentioned the golf tournament walk-on?
Get us a golf tournament rolling, bro.
Bro, I've had so many people reach out with ideas or, hey, we could partner, or, hey, can I sign up now?
As long as the partnering means that they're not looking for money. As long
no,
as
they're not looking.
Looking to try and get us set up so we can raise right. a bunch of money.
That's what it was. This walk-on fund could be a legitimate thing if we figure out the details. It's way more than we ever pictured when we decided we just wanted to tell stories, but that's beside the point. So that's what it looks like, those 4 hours. Now, if it's a 2:30 game, what do you do from Kev? What do you do from seven to when did Kevin Ward wake up if it wasn't a 7 o'clock wake up?
Well, you still have snack, right? You'd always have that morning snack.
And then right.
The breakfast on flow. The pregame meal is 4 hours before kickoff.
Yes. So on a 2:30 or a night game, anything past 11.
So like you'd have like 8 o'clock, there's like oatmeal, fruit,
cereal.
Little something, get in your stomach.
Yeah.
I'd go back and into the room. I'd put on game day, watch game day for a little bit.
Big gap, right?
Yeah, you got a couple hours. Some guys go back to bed. Me, once I'm up, I'm awake. I can't go back.
I always went back to bed.
And really?
Brady Ross is the most narcoleptic human I've ever met in my life. He would go to the hotel and immediately nap until the first thing that we had to do. And he would get up for that. And then as soon as those responsibilities were over and I went to play cards before the night meeting, he just went to take another nap.
That's incredible.
It might have had something to do with him weighing
the fact that he was 266 pounds.
And he was in a constant food coma. He had 10 burgers in him from Smack. my God.
No, I will say I indulged myself in the hotel dinners, especially the ones in Cedar Rapids.
Oh yeah. Which by the way,
I think we had the best, I'm trying to imagine it on a away trip that had the better setup than we did at home.
None.
I don't think so.
I will be staying at the Kirkwood, by the way, this weekend. So yes, birthday weekend. We got a hotel room at the Kirkwood.
Hey,
so I'm going to have them actually set me up the pregame meal too for Saturday night.
I mean, dude, at this point, you have to have credentials to get into that place.
Yeah. I'm going to set up the pregame meal, snack, the tubs of ice cream, all just for me and my wife. It's going to be great.
No. Go into the conference room. Just walk into the conference room. Just stroll into the conference room 15 minutes before snack and just take a seat.
I'm not going to be staying there Friday night. I'll be there Saturday night. But if I was staying there Friday and Saturday night, you guarantee that I'm overstepping. I'm overstepping in some way or other. Imagine the coaches walk in. Fed walks in for snack and Kluver's sitting in the seat. I'd get kicked out so fast. Again, with the timer, we're going to take another short break for the second ad break. And when we come back, we're going to answer some more questions. This whole thing has gone off the rails in the right way. Okay. And that's all I have to say. And we're back. Okay. Beauty of editing. So basically, Kev, on the 2:30 afternoon slot, it's just you get to hang out till that.
It's taken us like 30 minutes to
end. Hey, and that's why this podcast is so great. Right? We give detail after detail. 2:30 yes. afternoon slot.
So you get your little snack in the morning, you go back up to your room, you can do whatever you want. You go back to sleep. I watched game day, went over some of my my notes from film study, and then 10 o'clock comes around, go eat breakfast.
Yeah. Not a lot of anything else. On a night game, I'm pretty sure the Friday meetings that would usually happen. We would then go to a movie on Friday nights, and then those meetings would happen Saturday morning so you could fill some of the gap in the morning with like, hey, come down. We'll go over some stuff. Keep it fresh. Otherwise.
Right. So, all of our away games, I don't know what the offense did, but the defense, we'd usually go over about 30 plays of film study before the night before or for a night game the day of. This was right after the special teams meeting where it was like five clips of each special team.
And otherwise there is a lot of just sitting there And it's one of those things where you do have to sort of learn to man it.
And that's why I don't like the later games. I like the 11 o'clock game. We just get up and go. I hate sitting around.
There's no managing anxiety. You get to immediately start doing stuff. You're to the stadium. You're warming up. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock game. You can play that game. And I think KF used to say it. You can play that game before it starts with your energy. And you can be.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that, but that's basically how it's handled. So yeah, basically they just watch TV and try not to blow their load too early. I mean, that's essentially it.
Yeah. I remember, whenever I was sitting in the meetings on, the night before a game or the day of a game, when we're going over film, do you guys, when like you're sitting in a meeting, do you bounce your foot at all?
I think mine was more of a, like, I was constantly cracking my knuckles.
Okay. So doing that, biting my nails. Doesn't matter if it was 2014 when I was the third string safety, not getting in the game, or if it was the one game I started, it was always the same. It's like, come on, it's been a whole week. You just want to play the game.
Especially for Kev, because Drake, we know that Kev got into a psycho mode. Psych word Saturday is what it was. I mean, he was
just want to win.
Unbelievable. We'll take one more question. But then
who would I be to be calling anybody else?
That's true.
Psychotic. I painted my face black and tried to show everybody how dark my soul was.
Yeah. You guys had much different game day experiences than I did. Mine was all about being as calm and centered and just.
I have to go run into a wedge, RIP to the wedge, of 300 pounds of people.
I understand.
No, sorry, 300 pounds a piece. You know, like, excuse me if I have to get myself riled up a little bit to do that.
Right. One more question before we go, and this one won't nearly be as long as an answer. Old Kevin Casper had Kyler at the game last weekend. Also in attendance, I think at the Indiana game was the safety from Southeast Polk, Xavier Nwampa. I believe is how you say his last name. He's been hurt, by the way. Southeast Polk lost. They were number one. And Xavier put out a little graphic that the Iowa made him of like a half and half of him and Kyler. Those would be two pretty big time recruits. This guy said, I've always wondered when recruiting, do Kirk and the coaches emphasize Iowa's rich NFL tradition as a sale to recruits? Or is it so obvious that it speaks for itself? Seems like a no brainer for a Southeast Polk kid to come play for Phil.
Beats me.
Yeah.
I didn't get recruited and nobody thought I was going to the NFL. So I didn't hear the sales pitch.
I set this one up so that all three of us could basically say, we have yet to hear the selling points.
Okay, so if you're a walk-on, they actually want you to come join the program. Mm-hmm. They try to sell you on walk-ons can contribute. They play.
Dallas Clark.
Some of them turn into really good players in the NFL.
That must have meant
they're not really selling you on the NFL piece. They're just selling you, hey, if you put an effort, you can actually play.
Look what a couple of them have done. You know?
They didn't even think I was going to succeed then because they were just like, yeah, I mean, we could probably find a locker for you.
It was like when I was at Ohio State, they're just like, I mean, we can throw your shit in the corner and you can participate, but, you know, not promising anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't follow recruiting a whole lot, but I have seen some clips of the Xavier kid. I would love to see him after
three,
4 years studying under Phil.
Depending on what we have in the DB with our DBs, which is usually a decent amount. He's the kind of kid who comes in and he's like, he starts right away. And we don't get a lot of those, right? Desmond started a few games into our freshman year. You don't get a Desmond very often. He sort of appeared.
Yeah, it's easier to do that at corner than at safety as far as mental side of the game.
Right.
Safety's got to be a pretty smart player. Got to know all the calls and all the checks.
And I don't know what this kid's
going to play. That's hard to do in a three-week camp before the season starts.
Yeah. There's more questions, but again, we like to draw this out, so we maybe answer them a little bit later, but it's time for the best time of the week, the best segment of the week. Kevin
always win, no matter what.
Which is actually a lie. We don't only win. We do some losing as well. So
actually more losing so far.
So far more losing than winning. Drake is currently sitting at 5-4. I'm currently sitting at 4-4-1. And Kevin is sitting at 4-5. So we're not doing great, but we have a new chance at redemption every single week. This is Ward's Winners, and we are about to give you our top picks for the weekend, which Drake, we're going to have to go back and figure out yours, but I'll give mine and Kevin can give his first. Obviously it's his segment. So Kevin,
I'm definitely taking Tampa -1, but that's that.
Take it away. Yours.
Drake is taking Tampa -1.
Yeah, lock it in, baby. Tampa -1.
I know. Doesn't care who they're playing.
Yeah.
Tampa -1 this week. Could it be against the Monstars? Don't matter.
No, I just remember
it's Jesus and his disciples. Tampa -1, baby.
Well, Jesus and his disciples is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because
right.
Tom's in his 23rd year and he's about to break every NFL record that there is. So
it's true. He's already broken them all already.
Well,
what's he got left to break?
Well, he's about to break his back, the
his back or his neck or something, because he's 45 or something like that. Anyway, Kev, what's
winners?
All right. I like Michigan -20 versus Rutgers this weekend. Michigan's been looking pretty good. Their defense is looking good, running the ball well. Rutgers had two cornerbacks suspended this Ooh. Week, one of which was a starter.
Was it for the marijuana?
It was for some incident involving a paintball gun.
Mm-hmm.
Paint gun?
Paintball? Sounds like an Iowa situation where someone might have been trying to take rabbits out.
I don't know any other details, but I thought it was hilarious. And Rutgers, I don't feel like their offense is very good. I think Michigan shuts them down. I think they cover the 20 points.
Ooh.
See, I've got a few written down here.
He's conflicted. I'm conflicted
at which ones I'm going to give to the people. I think my next favorite one might be Arkansas home versus Texas A&M, getting 5.5 points.
Wow.
Arkansas has looked really good. Obviously, they beat the hell out of Texas. A&M, I don't know. Don't really know. They haven't played. Their best opponent they played is Colorado. They beat them 10-7.
Wow.
Colorado turned around and got their ass whooped by Minnesota. I don't know. I'll take 5.5 points at home with Arkansas.
Arkansas has been one of probably those five teams this year that has been like come out of nowhere and impressed a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're playing good football right now. I think they're juiced up. I think they keep it close. I remember, maybe it was 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. They played in a shootout and it was a close game.
Yeah.
All right, my third one, which one am I going to give you? I'm between two Big Ten picks here.
Give it to him.
I feel like you're going to give him this one, so I'm going to give him the other one.
I only have one Big Ten game.
I think I know which one it is, though.
They give it to him, and I'll piggyback it.
I'm going to give the other one.
Okay.
I'm going to give Indiana -9 versus Western Kentucky.
Oh, you do know which one I'm going to take.
Yeah, of course I do. Indiana is a good football team. They've just had a brutal schedule opening up with Iowa, and then they played Cincy last week. Should have won that game. Bullshit targeting call at the end of the first half changed the whole game. Best big defensive player gets kicked out. He will be back. He will be able to play the whole game this week. I think Indiana has a big week versus Western Kentucky.
Okay. There you go. Kevin Ward's winners of the week. I'll quickly give mine and then we'll go to Drake and then we'll finish up this podcast, this shit show. I guess I kind of lied. Wisconsin is in this game. It's not a Big Ten matchup. Notre Dame +6.5 against Wisconsin. The over under 46.5. This is going to be one of those games. I don't trust Wisconsin until you prove to me that they can score points against a good opponent, which they did not do against Penn State. 6.5 is a lot of points in a brawly game. I think Notre Dame, they always have talent. I saw some bullshit thing about Notre Dame and Wisconsin doing more with less on Twitter today. And Notre Dame has 44 four-star recruits.
Yeah, they can shove that up their ass.
So, poverty. they're just in poverty over there. Like, must be horrible. Must be horrible to only have 40 plus four stars.
That's like the millionaires complaining about the billionaires moving in.
That's eight more stars than I had. And I'll take Notre Dame to cover that. I don't know if they win, but
neutral site.
It is. It's going to be played at Soldier Field there.
Yeah.
In home of
a lot of Wisconsin people in Chicago. Notre Dame's a really hot spot Chicago's a really hot spot for Notre Dame too.
Yep. So Notre Dame to cover plus 6.5, UCLA minus 4.5 versus Stanford. I just have something against Stanford. Maybe it was when McCaffrey shit all over us. And I don't know why we have to bring that up and the Penn State game up and the other time, the Big Ten championship up every time we do a podcast, because it's just the bane of our existence. But I don't like Stanford. And I think they got shit on earlier in the year by somebody. Kansas State. And so I don't respect them.
Turn around and beat USC.
Right. And I don't respect them. They're inconsistent. I'll take UCLA minus 4.5. And my Big Ten game of the week, and I don't know if this is actually the one you thought I was going to pick, Michigan State versus Nebraska.
That is.
This seems like a lock of the year. Michigan State has been scoring points. I had a real good joke there, but I'm not the Drake of this podcast. I was going to say like someone scored against somebody, but I wasn't going to do it. They do have down. I'm not going to say any names. Michigan State minus 4.5. Michigan State minus 4.5 against Nebraska. And Michigan State minus 4.5 first. Keep it together. Michigan State minus 4.5 versus Nebraska. Give me Michigan State minus 45 in this game. I don't even care. Nebraska did show that they had a better defense against Oklahoma, but I don't think they can score. Michigan State, Kenneth Walker III, whoever the hell they have at quarterback, I don't know, but they're going to score a ton of points. They're going to beat Nebraska by like two scores. Michigan State, the Spartans, give them to me. Drake?
Yeah, Michigan State is also one of my picks, and Tampa minus 1 is another one of my picks.
Who's Tampa playing?
Who were they playing?
Here, I'm pulling it up right now.
I just remembered that one. They're playing the Rams, and it's at the Rams, but you can get them for minus 1.
Yep.
So, I mean, until somebody proves to me that they can beat the Bucks, like I said on Patreon, just give me the Bucks because that's a pick 'em.
Baltimore, your other game?
Yeah, I think so. Was that the one that we really liked?
We really liked it, and you liked the rushing over for Lamar.
Yeah, because you can get Baltimore at minus 7.5. So give me Baltimore minus 7.
Against Detroit, by the way. They're playing Detroit.
Yeah.
Who?
And then I just really think that in the way that the Ravens offense is set up, if you can find Lamar and their running backs for reasonable rushing over, like somewhere in the 50s, 56, something like that, I would just take it until proven otherwise, because they've been racking up some 200 yards on the ground or something like that.
Leading rushing team in the league.
And that's just how they're set up. They're trying to be the leading rushing team. So I don't know what their over-unders are set at. Maybe they're set abnormally high because of that, but I can't find those on the line.
Yeah, I don't get prop bets on this. But that brings us to the Hawks game. We have mentioned that the Hawks under has been pretty solid as of
this year. Also 3-0 ATS.
Against the spread. So the Hawks are doing great.
What is the spread?
And the Hawks spread currently sits at minus 23. The over-under sitting at 44.5.
Oh, that's low.
Not a lot of
Vegas
points.
Is like, we can't keep losing to the Iowa under. We got to check that thing down.
Des Moines and Iowa City is getting rich betting the Hawks because they're listening to the Washed Up Walk-Ons telling them to take the under.
There's no chance. Oh, well, I can't say no chance, but it's hard to cover and go under there.
I know. Yeah. So pick your poison here. I personally am going to say, I think the offense takes more steps. I think Iowa covers the points and we go over 44.5.
Now, is that just because the offense is scoring the points, or you think Colorado State's actually scoring this game?
I think
very real possibility that Colorado State does not score.
I think
we have to understand that.
I know. I think that I'll give Colorado State 6 or 7 points here. And I think the Iowa offense scores upwards of 40 points in this game, or maybe defensively we score two. We've done it 3 games in a row, but somehow Iowa will get to 40 points here. And I think Colorado State somehow gets like 2 field goals.
I'm not betting it. I'm actually like 50-50 on the over-under on this one. If you put a gun to my head, I'd take the under.
I think
it's just like last week. The Hawks win like 31-6 or something.
Love it. I love it. I just want to see him score points.
I would love that. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I'll just take the cover. I think the Hawks can beat this team by 23 points. Like, if we're going to succeed in this season as much as we would like to,
yeah,
then I think we should beat this team by 23 points.
I have more confidence, way more confidence in the cover than I do in the over-under. I'll say that. But that's what it is. So take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, we didn't make those. The Hawk game was not any of our 3 picks, but hammer the Spartans. Hammer them against the Nebraska suckers. That's it. I will be at the game, and I will be post-game radio show on WMT 600 with my guy Doug. And the Hawks are going to be 4-0. It's just about how bad they beat them. And we'll talk to you then, okay? But just remember, don't be Walmart guy, okay? Don't be Walmart guy.